My name's Dan. I'm from Google, and really appreciate all of you coming here to hear a little bit about Earthlink and Google's proposal for free Wi-Fi for the city of San Francisco. We have a little presentation here, nothing too major, but I'll run through it. Kind of gives an overview of the proposal and some common questions that we tend to get about what we offer to do for the city and the people of San Francisco. And then, of course, we'll open up to questions, and we have a nice small group here, so feel free to stop me at any time as well with questions, as well as, you know, feel free to get up and get snacks from the back. There's plenty there, and I don't mind that. I'll just introduce, I also want to introduce Stephen Saldrick from Earthlink, and you know, you probably can later jump up and answer some questions as necessary. Again, feel free to stop me at any point. Can everyone see this presentation? All right. So first up, why are we here? Well, telling you about our proposal for free Wi-Fi for the city of San Francisco. Want to hear your ideas, feedback, anything up there that you have questions about. That's exactly why we're having these meetings in each of the 11 districts of San Francisco. And just give you a sense of where we are in the process with the city and the county in terms of getting this Wi-Fi network built and up and running. So, an overview of what this would mean. What we're offering to do is offer both free and low-cost Wi-Fi access across the city of San Francisco, so everywhere within the city limits of San Francisco. And you'd be able to get on the free network as long as you have a laptop, PDA, other device that is wireless enabled. And most recent laptops, for instance, as you know, are wireless enabled, have a built-in car. The network will be wired outdoors, and I'll show you a bit more about that in a second. Generally, to pull in the signal indoor, you'll be able to do that by purchasing, or if you get some of the Earthlink plans, it will automatically be included, some basic, affordable hardware. It basically does a better job of pulling in that signal inside your house than, say, the wireless card in your computer might. Just to talk a little bit about how the network works. Earthlink and Google have a fair bit of experience in building networks like this. For instance, at Google, we've built something like this in our hometown of Mountain View, down the peninsula, and these shots here are actually from the network that we've built in Mountain View, and Earthlink really brings even more experience in a number of cities across the country at building Wi-Fi networks. But this sort of shows you a little bit about how it works. You can see the Wi-Fi node on the top of the lamppost on that picture there on that side. That's where the wireless signal is sent from to your computer. And we've, in Mountain View, if you're driving to Mountain View, you'll see a lot of those nodes because we put them on city-owned lampposts, lights like that throughout the city of Mountain View. And that's similar to what we would want to do here in San Francisco. They require only electric power, which is nice, and as I've said, you can connect with pretty much any Wi-Fi device.
On the left, just see, on the left is the actual radio. It's about the size of a shoebox with two antennas. And so that's a close-up shot of it. But the reason the other shot is there, it's really not that obtrusive. On top of the light was all you could really see of the two antennas, which were 18 inches.
Yep.
How does that communicate back to?
Good question.
That is a good question. Thank you for that excellent leading question. So basically, they all work on what's called a wireless mesh network. So they're all these small little, you know, two-pronged shoebox devices are communicating to each other. And then every so often, there's a radio that connects directly to the internet via a separate gateway. And that's what's illustrated on this particular lamppost here. And those connect to a base station. And that's then routed back to the internet. So that's what makes it kind of interesting from a sort of scalable technology perspective is that this mesh network means that not every one of these nodes has to be communicated back to the network. Instead, they communicate to each other. And again, every so often, we have one that's connected back. Stephen, would you add anything to that?
Yeah.
And that's wireless as well. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
That's a point-to-point little triangle, an ovarium. It has a line of sight shot back to an antenna, which connects 7.5 back to our point of presence.
Yes.
Do the ones in our house need to have, I guess they can't have line of sight. So is it just in the air then?
Yeah, it's.
I live in a field and our apartment's in the back.
Yeah.
So it's like, how's it going to be back there?
So. It's a very good question, and that's at the top, kind of mentioned that a little bit, but basically, the networks, as you can see here, are wired outdoors, so if you're outside, certainly if you're in line of sight, or if you're in relatively close to one of these nodes, then you'll get a pretty good signal just with your computer. Inside, it can be hard, you know, trees and certainly the walls of buildings can definitely interfere with the signal. That's why I mentioned what we call these Wi-Fi modems. And essentially, they're a more powerful receiver than is what's built into your computer. And those tend to do a much better job of bringing in the signal. So, you know, a common situation up in Mountain View where we've deployed a network like this is that someone is able to get a signal just with their computer outside, right outside of their house, say on their patio. But inside, they're not. But if they purchase one of these Wi-Fi modems, then they are able to get that signal indoor. And the Wi-Fi modem basically just kind of acts the same way as like a cable or DSL modem does now. So it pulls in the signal, and then you would just plug in your computer directly to it using an Ethernet cable, or you could even reroute it to wireless Wi-Fi within your house. So that's basically.
And that's a monthly subscription, or you can buy it out?
No, it's not. So there will be two ways you can get it. One is, and we'll talk a little bit about the low-cost packages that are offered, will be offered by Earthlink. And those packages include one of these for free as part of the sort of lower-cost monthly subscription. But if you wanted to access the free network using one of those, you could. You just have to purchase one of them once. Today, the ones that we've had the best luck with in Mountain View are in the 100 to 150 range, but I'm fairly optimistic that price will be going down, and even at that, you just purchase it once and you don't have to pay any kind of fee for free to connect with, you know. Does that make sense?
Now, exactly which piece is the Wi-Fi modem? This is the piece that you're at the
receiving
end?
You
said it, and I wasn't sure which it you were referring to.
I just couldn't remember if we had a picture in there, but yeah, we should. It basically, we don't have a picture of it, so basically it pretty much looks like the cable or DSL modem that you might have.
But it's the piece I have at my house as opposed to one of the.
Yeah, exactly okay. Right, yes.
You can talk about those and then.
That's right, so this is basically, this sends the signal and either the Wi-Fi modem or the built-in wireless card in a computer like this, that's what's going to receive the signal. So the cable, most of them have a cable connection that you plug in. You could also, say, plug in a wireless router on top of that to reroute the Wi-Fi.
So you buy like a little Wi-Fi modem, you stick it near your window, to the antenna. So basically, it does a better job of receiving the signal than your laptop does. It's a high gain, it's a more powerful antenna. And then it redistributes it to your laptop. Either sitting in your window, you want a little Ethernet network. Or you can buy a wireless router. You don't need the router if you have the.
No, you
the
don't.
Peplink, do you? That was in the Seagull.
Peplink doesn't, but. You would need a router in addition if you wanted to reroute the Wi-Fi. These are two on the market today that we found had good luck with. I'm sure, you know, if we're talking about in a year, probably would be a whole different set of these devices on the market. Today, again, they're basically the same as, you know, your DSL modem where you plug it in.
You said
that
the radio goes to somebody's fiber?
The fiber back to our point of presence here.
Yeah.
So it's Earthlink's fiber or San Francisco's fiber? Whose fiber is that going to? Who owns that?
It depends who we contract with.
Because right now, at the same night, there's a meeting about municipal fiber.
Right. Well, I'm not sure the city's renting its fiber. There's lots of fiber available. We're renting, depending on where we, whatever. We have, in every neighborhood, we're going to have an aggregation point. point back to. And so throughout the city, there's probably going to be 10 or 12 different aggregation points where we're going to hook up the fiber, and all that's going to go back to our single point of presence here in Sarasota. And that's where it goes onto the internet and back.
All history of proprietary stuff with the cable system has created big mess.
We'll buy fiber, these are from the most expensive.
Yeah.
And more than happy to give it to the city.
Yes, we absolutely share your perspective on not feeling like someone should be owning that fiber.
Yeah, there are all these monopolies that have got us in a totally unusable and you know, contracts that never delivered what they said, things like that.
Well, we view this as an alternative to some of the existing methods of connecting to the internet. It's one of the reasons we're excited about it. So it's a good question, for sure. Any other questions about that? I know the Wi-Fi modem thing is a little bit confusing. I'm sorry we don't have a sample here. I'll the next one around. Yes.
Okay, so the modem is a thing in the GE that we're going to plug into our computer.
Yeah, well, so you don't necessarily need a Wi-Fi modem. The signal is coming from one of these nodes.
But presuming that we're going to be in a house where...
Yes, most likely inside your house you probably would need it, unless you're frankly lucky and very close to a station, then maybe you wouldn't.
And then the router is another cable go to a computer upstairs?
No, so sorry if that was confusing. Once you have the Wi-Fi modem, it's basically a high-gain antenna. It's going to pull in the signal. And then, let's say it's right here, it's a box, you know, you have it set on a desk near your window, you could just plug in your computer directly to that. That's it.
So we need a cable?
Yeah, you would need just an Ethernet, like a simple cable, very easy to get, to plug directly in, and that's all. It's a simple
cable. Well, if you want a wireless router already, then you can plug that into there, then you have wireless where you have it
in the back rooms.
Or, no, if you have roommates.
But the most basic is you could just plug it in directly.
Yeah. So it's just like at the hotel, right?
Yeah, exactly, right. It would basically be like a box that you're plugging into at the hotel, exactly.
Nah, hotel has like free wireless in there, so hotels.
Oh, the free wireless, yeah. So with the free wireless, yeah, outside, basically we're gonna be doing what a lot of hotels have done inside throughout the city of San Francisco. So just like when you're wandering around the Hyatt, you can connect anywhere within the Hyatt. Our vision for this is that anywhere around San Francisco, wherever you are, you'd be able to connect in just the same way, and it's easy as that, without having to pay for it. The exception that we're talking about that is important to note is that inside, because of buildings and walls, you may need a little extra help to pull in the signal, and that's where these Wi-Fi modems that we're talking about come in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look. And actually, exactly to that point, it's been great about transitioning to the next slide. This is just an example, I won't read through this, of some different ways that we think Wi-Fi would be useful to the city, to the citizens of San Francisco. You know, you could imagine someone using internet to make an internet phone call in Hong Kong from Chinatown Park. That's one example. Or, you know, just downloading music from the internet in Golden Gate Park, or taking out your PDA when you're waiting for a bus and you wonder where the heck Uni is, and hardly ever happens, and you know, easily connect Wi-Fi. Those are all examples of ways we think Wi-Fi could really kind of make things easier for all of us here in the city. So we're pretty excited about some of those possibilities.
God, nobody uses email, huh?
Well, email, chat. No.
There's a lot of possibilities. We're trying to be a little creative with it, but yes, you could also do it.
I heard this isn't as safe as private accounts that we now have. You have to pay your bills online. Wi-Fi isn't as safe.
Yeah. That's a good question. This is an open Wi-Fi network by default. So.
It is or it is not?
It is open. So what that means, if you used it without any additional security, in theory someone could intercept what you're sending to one of the Wi-Fi nodes. However, There are technologies available, VPN, virtual private network technologies, that basically encrypt any information that you're sending and therefore make it secure to use. So I'll tell you about what we're doing up in Mountain View, and we expect to offer, both Earthlink and Google expect to offer something similar here. So we're offering a free downloadable, again, it's a VPN, virtual private network client. These things are very common. Companies provide them. There are a lot on the internet that you can buy. Ours is free, and we're offering it in Mountain View just to those who are using our network. And again, they just download it very easily off the site once they log in. And when using that VPN technology, then the network is secure because your information is encrypted. There's never 100% guarantee, just as there isn't with a wired connection. But we would be comfortable. I mean, I personally, when using a VPN, would certainly be comfortable doing online banking. I wouldn't if I weren't using a VPN. So it's a good question. It's a very important thing, something we try to emphasize with our users in Mountain View.
Just to piggyback on that, I have Google Mail, Gmail, and you know how you have, you're writing about something, and then you see these ads on the side about what you're writing about. And it's kind of a weird sort of, and I've read, and I don't know why, but sometimes it just seems like it's not. They say it's just computer doing it, but I don't know. I've heard security thing. And because, you know, when I want to do security stuff, I don't do it through Google because, you know, I don't know, you guys read the mail or something. I'm not sure what happens.
Well, with Gmail, which is distinct, it is, in fact, it's 100% automated. No one ever reads your email. And it works in the same way as our advertising network does in general, which is the computers read the content of the page and try to provide ads that match the content of the page. Essentially what they do is, it's almost Google's search technology, reads that page, and it reads the ad, and if it finds a match, it serves that ad to that page. So, you know, it can be sometimes a little bit funny, sometimes the matches that they make, but I can guarantee you that no one is reading the email to make those ads. It's totally automated. It wouldn't be possible for someone to do it.
As part of your security answer, you mentioned that it's only accessible by login. So what kind of privacy issues does that bring up? And also practical issues about if somebody's in your town.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily use it.
Sure. So for the free service, in order to log in, again, I'll describe how it works in Mountain View, and it's going to be very similar in San Francisco for the free service. You open up, you find a signal, you connect your computer to the Wi-Fi signal, and then you just open up your browser, and you get to a welcome page. And you do need to log into this, and you log in with a free Google account. If you have Gmail or anything like that, you already have a Google account. If you don't, you just create one right then. And the Google account doesn't ask for very much personal information. It asks for an email address to verify that you're not spamming us, and a username and password, and that's it. So that's all you need to log on to the network. And a visitor to San Francisco could do the same thing if they didn't already have a Google account. Now, if you were using Earthlink's low-cost service, you would provide more information as you would with your current internet provider, but certainly that's backed by Earthlink's privacy policy.
So Google's running the free service and Earthlink's running the low cost. It's a total split of.
Okay. That's right.
So why don't you answer the same question?
Well, the information we gather is the information that, I guess, because we're going to be charging you, we do need your name, billing address, a credit card. And you create an account because we have a password. That's retained in our databases.
So anybody with a credit card can't play?
No, that's actually not true. Because in negotiations with the city, we're talking about how other mechanisms other than a credit card to access the network, that could be from debit cards and or there's another mechanism we use through, if I'm going to say, this money transfer company.
Western Union.
Western Union. Western Union. Western Union. Western Union. Western Union. Western Union. Western Union. Western Union. Western
Union.
And send all this over the insecure network back to your network, right?
Right, yeah.
No, it's not, no.
So.
Well, it's not Earth, like, no, it's all not. It's like when you go on the internet, you go through the SSL, serious stuff.
So when you say that this is an open network.
Well, so
you're right. Wi-Fi networks are inherently are open. But Google's in with Earthlink, and we're going to be providing free encryption technology, state-of-the-art, WPA2AES secure. And as long as you're using that, everything is encrypted by packets. It's very, very secure.
Yeah.
The problem is, even there, if you go out to the internet to a site, it could be a scam. And, you know, you have to be cautious. You have to be very, very careful. I mean, I get weekly offers.
But that's a separate.
No, that's a separate issue.
When
you're signing up with your credit card on an Earthlink, it's all VPN and all.
That's
we have 5.3 million customers who can't afford to allow them to get hijacked and robbed.
So
we're very sensitive.
And just to be crystal clear on one point there, again, for the free service, nothing, no credit card, debit card, none of that is required. This is for the premium service that will be offered to Earthlink, where, of course, you're paying a monthly fee, so obviously they need billing information, et cetera, but we are doing that in a very secure way. Yeah, so that's a good question, and it's something that today you do need an existing email account at the point what you're logging in. We know that creates some challenges, so we're trying to think of some ways maybe you could create a Gmail account on the spot. We haven't really ironed out that. Today in Mountain View, it actually doesn't verify whether it's a real email address, so people are able to do it. But just because we're wanting to be pretty open about it. But that's something we're thinking about specifically. But the answer is today, as it stands, you would need to have an email address. It could be a free Gmail or Yahoo, whatever. But you would need it at the point of the block.
Can you send pop emails? Pop accounts?
Yeah, yes, you could. Any other questions?
Yeah, I just got a little confusion about it. With Earthlink. Okay, so you're talking about free stuff, and you're talking about paying for stuff. So this is the same program.
So we have a slide about that in a little bit. Let me get to that, and if it doesn't answer your questions, we'll definitely come back to it. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
So I'm sure this is an attempt to, especially for like large companies.
Yeah.
So that means like a lot of new people are going to be introduced to the internet at home and being in schools. And so with that comes a huge responsibility, people kind of warning them and teaching them how to stay safe on the internet. So how does that happen?
Yes.
Why does that happen?
That's a really, really good question. The next slide is going to get into that in some depth. So let me get to that, and again, if there's any questions. Also, Mike at the back there has been involved with the cities. And Laura. I'm sorry, Laura. Both are involved, I guess, with the city's Tech Connect program, which this particular proposal from Google and Earthlink is just one piece of that, with a broad goal of what's sort of called digital inclusion, which is getting more of our citizens in San Francisco online, able to use the internet and other forms of technology. So I'll talk a little bit about where we see Google and Earthlink fitting in, and then at the end, if either of you want to kind of talk about Tech Connect in general, we'd love to hear a little bit more about that. So thank you. That's a really, really good question. It's something we've been thinking a lot about. Before I get to that, I just wanted to show you another aspect of this that we think is kind of cool, which is this is, again, just to kind of use the Mountain View example, not to overplay that too much, but this is the landing page right now that you see up in Mountain View once you log in to the Wi-Fi network. And the reason I wanted to highlight it is because I think it does something that we think is a real potential of a network like this, which is brings the community together in some interesting ways. So, for example, you can create a module that's pretty easy to create that, say, if you've got a local community organization, you know, let's say the community center here could create a module about its upcoming events. And then you then on your personalized land page, you could add, landing page, you could add that module in. So this page is fully customizable however you want to customize it. So, you know, you can have weather in your neighborhood, traffic in your neighborhood, restaurants in your neighborhood, your Gmail account, and any of these other community modules. And so in Mountain View, we've had the school create one, we've had various local charities, the YMCA create one, and then their members can go ahead and add a module to their page. So it's just kind of a neat feature, and we think it's a way that communities could stay, the community could stay a bit closer by using this Wi-Fi network. Earthlink would have something a little bit different if you were using their service, but I think it would be kind of with a similar goal of providing relevant local community content. I think that's something Earthlink does pretty well today already. Yes, please.
Who's creating these community modules? For example, if this center wanted to have a presence, you know, events and other things, who would create that?
Yeah. So they could. It's actually very easy to create yourself. At the most basic, all you need to do is know how to post to a blog. So there's, you know, pretty detailed online instructions on how to do that. And then what we've done in Mountain View, for instance, is make it easy to add it into a Mountain View customized folder that anyone who's logging into this page could see it and find all the local Mountain View content. So basically, the community member would create it on their own, and we work on ways to make that very easy to do. Yes. So right here, see, it's a little bit hard to see in the example, but there's an add content button. And there's a whole variety, we call them Google gadgets, modules. These are available nationally and worldwide to people who have a Google personalized homepage. But for these community efforts, we've created a specific Mountain View, in this case it would be San Francisco, folder that would be accessible to users of the Wi-Fi network. So they would go to add content and would see a special San Francisco community folder where they could browse through all of the local community modules that are available. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and also, is that just network specific? So instead of traveling somewhere else, I might say, hey, let me show you my customized module for my neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes, so once you've created a page like this, it's actually tied to the Google account that you're using. So if you logged in to that Google account, no matter what type of internet connection you were using, you would see your same community page. Okay, so this is where we get to a little bit some of the ideas for how we would help this network be accessible to everyone in the city. So first of all, I said it at the beginning, but it's worth emphasizing, the network and the signal would be in every neighborhood of San Francisco. Definitely, I think, by far the most exciting aspect of it. It would be a free and low-cost signal available throughout the city. And so that's a start, but to your question, what are we going to do to make sure that people who are not maybe familiar with using the internet now know how to get connected, know about safety tips, et cetera, what to do once they get on? So we're definitely committed to holding training sessions across the city. This is something we've done in Mountain View where we've had, I think we've had 6 community open training sessions at this point where people come by. We go through the details on how to connect, talk about security tips, safety, et cetera, and answer any questions they have. We have a detailed online help center. When you're talking about the Earthlink offering there, you add to that phone support as well. And there's another piece of this that we think will be really important, which is that we envision, and we've done this in some of the other examples, partnering with local computer vendors in each neighborhood who then become the real resource for each neighborhood on getting connected to the network. Maybe if you're using one of those Wi-Fi modems, they come to your house and actually help you set it up. And that's been a really essential part of the training. But again, we look at this as an important part, one of the reasons we're excited about it, and we definitely are behind the idea of holding these free training sessions. And this would just, again, be just one piece of your larger and extremely important question about how we get more people in the city sort of up to date on technology, and I think they can talk a bit more about some of the other things that the city is thinking about doing. Yeah.
As an adjunct to this bridging the digital divide, did you call it digital inclusion?
Yeah.
I know Google is socially responsible in a lot of ways, and I'm just wondering, are there any plans, for example, to, use like people from the neighborhood maybe to put up the little notes and stuff, or is it going to be some sort of a thing where you come down like everybody else does and suck the money out of it from using these things back to the suburbs, or are you going to leave some money here and present jobs here for people to have as well?
Yeah. That's a good question, and we, and I also let Stephen jump in here because Earthlink is the one who actually will be building the network. But you know, I think I'll say as much as for us, the community involvement is an extremely important part of it, and I don't think we yet know exactly. You know, I can't tell you X number of locals will be involved in setting up the network. And it's something I'd like a better answer on.
I should address that. The city does have certain standards you have to adhere to in terms of hiring. Part of our negotiation with the cities, we need to adhere to all their policies in terms of minority businesses. And
that's not enough. You need to have a commitment to
right. The
neighborhoods. Well, the cities, that's where, because people come down here, take our resources, take back to the suburbs, and then the people like in the Western Addition, or in the Bayview, or Mission Valley, they're left high and dry, you know, but we're putting money into the system as well, but we don't get the benefit that everybody else gets.
Okay, I hear you, I understand that may have happened in the past. You're looking at the companies, two companies.
Yeah, no, you guys are socially responsible.
We're investing $10 million to build this network. We're not taking it anywhere. That network stays here, it's yours. I mean, it's for the people of San Francisco. It's a free network, it's a free application. I mean, this is the only city in the United States. I mean, people come to us at Earthlink, you know, we went to Boston, they said, well, you're doing free in San Francisco, we're doing free here. I said, we don't do free, we can't afford to do free. Earthlink can't, we're struggling as a company as it is. We're successful as a company, but we can't afford to offer free internet access. Google came, stepped up to the plate, and they said, listen, we entered the partnership with them. They said, look, you build, own, and operate the network, you have experience doing it. We're going to wholesale access to you, and we're going to give you San Francisco. That's our gift to the city of San Francisco. But we're going to do that because we want to, you know, give back to the community, if you will, something that's never been done before. And so Google is stepping up, offering that. Now, the difference between the two services is we are capping the speed at which the free service is available, 300K, and differentiate the service that Earthlink is going to offer. It's going to be 1 kilobit, so it's 3 times faster. And it's going to offer certain functionalities and certain applications that Google will not offer under the free service. But basically, under the free service, you're going to be able to get email, surf the web, do lots of applications. The higher speed stuff that sucks the bandwidth, the video, the downloading, the music stuff, we're going to ask people to pay around $20 a month for that service. But that network is here. I mean, it's here, we're not taking it, we're not sucking. I understand what you're saying. Some people come to the city, you know, extracted resources and gone off and taken the money elsewhere. We're committed to this city, and this network is for the use of all people in San Francisco. I just want you, and we are committed, by the way, of hiring local vendors to deploy and build the network.
Right.
It's not
that's what I want to hear. Okay.
No, that's our commitment, and it's part of our negotiation with the city. They've been really tough. They've been tougher with us than any other city we've gone into. And we appreciate and respect, and we also understand that every city is unique. And that as a result of the past experience here, maybe they are pushing us a little bit harder. No, we're committed to definitely use local vendors. You want to say local vendors? The reason I brought up minorities and women also, because part of that is we subcontract out there to build the network. If it's a minority and if it's a woman, they get priority consideration over non-minority and non-woman-owned local vendors. So if you're a company with a bucket truck, well, bucket trucks are those little trucks with buckets. The guy was standing in one painting the radio earlier on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we would be looking for a minority-owned or woman-owned bucket truck company. Or, you know, or electricians, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To engage.
You have names.
No, seriously, no, we are, because we have to do it. That's our right with the city, it's our obligation. So.
No, but in reality, though, I mean, that's all good, but in reality, with digital divide means you know, this divide, so the likelihood of finding a lot of minorities in this business is very low.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's still an ambitious project. What I'm more interested in, though, is how we really use this to really kind of move people to access the internet, you know, on an educational basis, too. I mean, help people like pay their bills,
yeah,
these different things.
Yeah.
This is window to the world.
Yeah, these are two different questions, and they're both good questions. So one is, you know, how, once this network is up and running, how do we make sure that everyone in the community knows how to use it, regardless of what neighborhood they're in? The other is, I think, your question, which is, in the process of building the network, et cetera, are we going to be utilizing, you know, local companies, locals, in building this network and therefore adding to the economy in that way? And, you know, I think Stephen got to a lot of what we're trying to do there. And then the second piece is this digital inclusion once the network is built. Talked a little bit about that. I'll let these guys talk a bit more about it. Maybe do you want to say a few words about it now, or would you rather wait at the end?
Can I throw something
in before
we move on?
Okay.
I think another component of this is that a lot of people in this neighborhood would like to see jobs created by this, through this. There's a lot of youngsters out here that could use a job and that could be trained to train people in the neighborhood. So if there's any way, shape, or form that could be put in the blueprints, we appreciate it in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good energy here that just needs to be focused.
And that's a tremendous opportunity. You're right.
Yeah.
And Mike and Laura can talk to that afterward. No, we're going to invite you up, and also because we really want you to share, because I'm not sure that your efforts are necessarily as well known. But we're working very closely with them in terms of reaching out to local communities to identify opportunities for young people. EarthLink has a program called Generation Link, where we have high school students that chain that sit down and teach senior citizens how to access the internet. Because they're afraid. You know, they're doing it. But, and these kids, this is their life. I mean, they're on computers all the time.
In our neighborhood, it's like you guys are from the suburbs, we're from the Western Division.
Yeah.
It's a different world. With all due respect to the good work you guys are doing, and I do think you're doing some good work, it's a different world over here. So,
the suburb people are scared of our neighborhood. They're scared to come in here and teach. They're scared to come in here and start a business. They're scared to do anything here, and there's nothing to be afraid of. It's what the newspapers say, and the newspapers lie. You know, Chronicle, I was talking about earlier, it just doesn't portray the Western Division the way that it really is.
But I think also,
Chronicle
is still, whoever's scared to come in here, whatever, but still there's a neighborhood here. There's a lot of kids that don't necessarily have, I mean, a lot of times you talk about, well, we do this, that, and the other. Well, these kids haven't really made it to first base yet with technology.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole, if I have a computer in the home, is a big step. I know that one of the things we did when I first got here 2 years ago was the city was doing some type of rebuild with their computers. And so we took a lot of old computers, kind of reprogrammed them, and gave them to the community, right? And we really been doing this big thing, but a lot of them sat on people's tables. And they were still coming here, though, using our computer lab. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so even though we sit people down and try, you know, we have a so-called computer lab, what we found is that unless they had a useful computer, they didn't really never get it. You see what I'm saying? And so what we're trying to do is introduce people to, like, man, videos online, and all these different things.
No, start there. That's insane.
Live in a very dangerous neighborhood. Sometimes with people walking up and down school bills, money, stuff like that. What we try to do is introduce something different, especially for the city. Mm-hmm. They can do a lot of things online. And so once we started doing that, we saw more and more people starting to really gravitate to the unit in their homes. And I guess that's what you kind of speak to. How do we really get our kids back, you know, interested in this and you know, then that kind of, our side is the window to the world. I mean, once you get into it, man, you just forget about the Western Edition.
Well, there's many kids that have the ability to make games that they don't know how. Mm-hmm. They have the ability to be artists online, they don't know how. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's just, like, there's a whole lot of good stuff here.
Do you have musicians in this neighborhood?
This is, I really appreciate the points you're making, the feedback. This, you know, I said at the beginning, I don't have the answer I'd like to have for you, and let me explain what I meant by that. Because I hope to be able to do that, and let me explain what I mean. Like, why do we have these meetings in every neighborhood, every district? Now, someone gave me the feedback at the beginning, probably could have done even more of that, of getting into every neighborhood, but we went to every district. And the reason we did that is because we wanted to hear the unique issues that face every neighborhood. You know, we could have gone in and just had, you know, one meeting somewhere downtown and promoted it heavily. But instead, we took the approach of, you know, coming to community centers in every neighborhood and, you know, wanting to hear issues like this. So that, for us, was a starting point. And these issues that you're identifying are exactly the things that we do want to think about and take into account. I mean, I can say this for Google. We do want to involve locals. And if you don't believe that from a, you know, altruistic standpoint, then look at the business side of that, which is we're not in the business of putting up Wi-Fi nodes. We're not in the business we want people in every neighborhood to be online. That's only going to be good for Google. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think we are on board with this, and it's something we hope to evolve over time as we work on this project. And again, these meetings in every neighborhood is the starting point. So again, we can talk more about this, but thank you very much for the points you're raising. We hope that as time goes on, we'll be able to come back and point to some of the things that we have done related to that.
Yeah, I was going to say there are actually computer literate people in these neighborhoods with access to decent equipment and access to affordable signals. Mm-hmm. You know, $50 a month is more affordable. And broken computer is a broken computer. And you, in fact, never get computer literate unless you have your own computer. But it's also neighborhoods that have very highly criminalized people, so the privacy stuff is really important. And that's something most of the middle class people miss. They think poor people need less privacy and security. In fact, poor people need more privacy and security, because it's just part of the culture, mm-hmm. especially in African American neighborhood.
That's a good point.
It's got some kind of cops chasing them for something.
Sure.
And
sure.
So the privacy thing. Plus, what's happened in so many cities is these mesh networks, once they're in, become carriers for surveillance cameras, which is another privacy question.
Well, that's another.
No, I just want to.
I don't know any details on that.
It's an
interesting point.
I don't really have any comment on it.
But
people in this community,
we know.
If you go look at other towns, that's frequently how it's been used. Okay. But the privacy thing is critical. So the how much information you have to give in a login, because how many of your friends got warrants or whatever, or paroles, and all this stuff, you know.
And just quickly before I move on, I just wanted to point out that we also recognize, in addition to the points we make about digital inclusion, that San Franciscans speak a lot of different languages, and it's worth pointing out that Google's UI today is available in 109 different languages. And we also recognize that, you know, in some neighborhoods we're going to want trainings, et cetera, in other languages as well. Another advantage of this, and this gets to what we've been talking about, is we think that Wi-Fi brings tools for local business in a couple of different ways. One is it can create opportunities that weren't there for local businesses, like maybe helping with the setup of the network, also helping hardware, software, technical service vendors. If you've got a, you know, we mentioned, of course, there are people, I'm sure, in every neighborhood and I'm sure nearby here who do know a lot about computers, and this may be an opportunity for them to set up a business helping people get connected to the network and figure out how to use it. So there's opportunities like that, and fundamentally, having more people online makes it easier. If you've got a small local business, it's going to be a lot easier for people to find you if, say, they can get to Google Maps or MapQuest and find the location of your business. And it also comes up with some new ways to promote your business. Google has a lot of, for instance, though you would certainly not be exclusively tied to what Google offers, has a lot of free tools to help you create, say, a website for your small business if you don't have one, which would allow you to advertise it. So there's opportunities like that that happen when more people are online. And so that's something that we think would be an advantage of this network.
And the attractive thing here also is that... For the first time, you know, Diane's coffee shop is going to be able to promote within a 6-block radius or 10-block radius, you know, at lunchtime. You know, $2 off, you know, lunch special at Diane's. But she, Diane may not have the money to advertise, may not want to advertise citywide because she's here. Or pizza special, you know, from Joe's Pizza, 30 minutes before the Monday night game. And he can promote locally, not across the whole city, just locally. That, those are the opportunities for small businesses to reach out and communicate to people within his neighborhood, either his or her neighborhood.
Is that on the Earthlink or the Google?
That would be either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can also be on the module section?
So right now, the module, you know, we don't have the final module for San Francisco, but for instance, to, because I can only point to one we have now, but Mountain View doesn't have any advertising on it. If you went to there to search on Google, that's when the local advertising, you know, that you get anywhere on Google would come up. But there's not advertising today associated with the network at all.
But for Diane's coffee shop, how would Diane?
Okay, so there's a couple of different ways. I mean, one is there's sort of like a fundamental point, which is more people are online locally. That makes it, whether they use Google or, you know, Yahoo Local or whatever, makes it more, you have more people online, so there's more reason to advertise online in the neighborhood. But the other component, and we have it today, is that you can go to the AdWords program, which is our online advertising program, and set a radius. Of you know, say within 5 miles of your business or 1 mile of your business, and just advertise to people who are within that radius. And we think in the future, Wi-Fi technology may allow better targeting to people in your neighborhood. I mean, this is kind of a looking to the future component of it. But
a great suggestion for your future, because none of the transit maps that are online are functional at all. Why don't you start putting transit stops in your Google Maps? They're completely useless. A 5-1-1 page, they should all be shot. And so nothing crosses over. You can look at an address and you can't tell how to get there. None of the different transit systems talk to each other.
That,
if you put add in transit so people wouldn't even know how to get to Diane's coffee shop. Why are the transit stops not available on maps? I think it'd be a great.
You know what? That is such a good suggestion that we actually have several engineers at Google who are working on it.
Good,
and
the municipal ones are useless.
We've launched some tests. It's called Google Transit, and there's a test running like up in Portland, Oregon, and hopefully in San Francisco. I'm with you on that. So that's.
Yes, it's horrible. I tried to go to that MakeFest down at the San Mateo Convention Center. It was absolutely impossible. And the 511 page had 2-year-old stuff that didn't even have the BART extension in yet. And nothing showed the maps or the transits. Yeah. It's just awful.
So I think, you know, these are all examples of ways that local information, you know, being able to really target to specific neighborhoods has a lot of potential for making the internet better. Personally, I think it's one of the areas where it's really lacking. And by having more users locally and having a Wi-Fi network like this, hopefully we can get a little bit better at that. I think that would be beneficial to everyone. This is where we kind of just compare the two services that are going to be offered. This is a big question. There's the free service, Google Wi-Fi. The speed is about 300 kbps, which is... going to be faster by a significant margin than the dial-up if you're using a dial-up modem today. It would not be as fast, though, as a DSL or cable connection that you might have. And again, that's free and accessible all over the city. We also are going to be offering as part of the package an affordable and faster option. And again, this is where Earthlink would be specifically offering this. For around $20 a month, you would get much faster speeds, both uploading and downloading. And again, that would come from $20 a month. And one of the nice things about that is once you paid that monthly fee, whether you were in your house with your Wi-Fi modem or anywhere, you'd be able to get onto that faster connection. So it really offers, we think, a good package of a free service that will be fast enough for many needs. But when you talk about some of these higher bandwidth uses, if you plan to do that over the Wi-Fi network, that's when you may want to get the premium service. And Stephen, would you want to add anything about the
networks? No, I mean, 300 gigs per second, really, it's about six times faster than dial-up connection today. Many of your DSL connections really are not much more than 300K, they can be 5 or 6, but by the time, they advertise at 1.5 meg, by the time it actually gets to your computer to really test it, it's really a little bit like 5 or 600, no, 3 to 600K. And that's really the difference. The only other difference with the Earthlink services you get are award-winning, you know, customer service and tech support. JD Power's 4 out of the last 5 years, I guess, for narrowband and broadband. And that's another differentiator. And there's a suite of applications and software that come with our service that don't necessarily come with the Google service.
Is that a teaser fee, and then it goes up later on? Or how long is that good for, the $20?
It's a one-year contract. Okay. And that also comes with the PepLink mode, Wi-Fi mode, rather than 100% mode.
Is PepLink brand name on it?
Yeah, PepLink's the brand
company,
name.
PEPLINK.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know by the time we build the network to deploy if that's the actual. Yeah, we could be using Linksys.
That will give me an idea of what kind of range of.
Yeah, you can see.
So will we be able to download music with the new service?
Yes, you could. I mean, it's, you know, if you were downloading a lot of music, that might be, or certainly videos, that might be a case where you probably would be happier if you upgraded to the faster service. But there certainly are no restrictions. It's just a question of how fast it happens. Again, if you are on dial-up or familiar with dial-up today, that's 56K, and this is 300K. So
yeah, I'm on dial-up, so that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So. I think 300K is most people's applications, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. It's all relative. But if you're on dial-up today, you'd probably be pretty happy.
Yeah.
With the free service, is there any kind of tech support at all?
Yeah, so we would have online tech support, both I think chat support is what we've been talking about, as well as, you know, very detailed online help information. And then we would view the local training sessions and the local vendor partners as the other source for sort of offline technical support. The phone support would come with the premium Earthlink service.
What if it broke? Who would we call?
So, again, we would have, you know, the online support for that. Via email. So what we're doing in Mountain View today is we have the a complete online support center and discussion forum, and then an email that you can send in. You can send an email to us, and we'll address the support issue, and then there'll be online chat. And then we would also hope to partner again with local vendors who could help you in a situation where you're not able to get online and access those internet sources.
Yeah, I'm presuming since it's in Mountain View, you have Windows, Apple, and Linux support. Including Linux support as well.
Yes, yes. Any computer that has a wireless card, you'd be able to. Any questions? Just to quickly run through what's happened so far, where we're going in terms of the proposal process and the timeline. Back in August of 2005, the city began a public process of getting ideas for a citywide wireless network. Thought it was something that they wanted to try to do as part of this Tech Connect effort. In December last year, they officially issued the RFP, the request for proposals, to construct that citywide network. And there were 6 primary submissions to that, and then in April, and Earthlink and Google was one of them. Actually, what happened is we both were kind of thinking about doing it, and then we realized it may have made sense for us to get together and make a joint proposal. And that's exactly what we did. And the city reviewed various submissions and ultimately decided in April of 2006 that Google's and Earthlink's was the best value for the city and the citizens. And then beginning in June of this year, the kind of term negotiation began ironing out various details with the city. That is ongoing now. And also happening now is these meetings with San Franciscans and The next step, once we kind of iron out all the details with the city, would be a vote from the Board of Supervisors to actually approve Google and Earthlink's proposal. Questions about the timeline?
I'm sorry, so when is it going to be set up here?
Good question. I don't know if she's there, whatever the answer is, thank you.
And which neighborhood are going to be first?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think just, we're negotiating a contract with the city today. We hope to iron out terms in the next month or so. And then it gets submitted to the Board of Supervisors for their approval. Assuming they approve it, and assuming the terms are acceptable, and we encourage you to send emails to all your supervisors, encourage them to support it, to approve it. It'll take between 12 and 18 months to build up the entire city, I mean, all 50 square miles, including the Treasure Island.
August 1st.
When everybody gets it first,
so you go.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
You know, I don't know if they've. We're going to have a project plan included in the proposal. It has to be approved. So that'll probably address. There's a lot of redlining issues. Concerns with the city that people are going to build out only in both areas. Our experience in the one in Philadelphia, the RFP there, we went in. And we found out that 42% of the people in the city of Philadelphia did not have access to either high-speed cable or DSL. Because the phone company and the cable company did not built out in the disadvantaged local neighborhood. So we are going to be the first high-speed access that people have ever had access to a place like that. And this is our most attractive area. It's people make money and build up rich neighbors. No, we don't care about it. We want to go into the inner city and build it because these people never had access to high-speed. To answer your question, we're going to have a project plan to be approved by we're going to negotiate with the city, and then we'll be approved by the submitted to the Board of Supervisors for their approval, and after that's approved, we'll take 12 to 18 months for the city. And I want to encourage you that weekly there's a posting. Every time we have a meeting with the city, we have negotiations every week. All the results are posted on the website here in the city, so everyone can view the conversations, the discussions, the negotiations, the back and forth, any document, emails, anything. It's exchanged, all gets posted in the Sunshine Law. And it's sssfgov.org/TechConnect.
Slash what?
TechConnect.
It's on a piece of paper we're going
to
hand out.
Yeah, it's on a piece. But you can find, and I got, because I'm not up here, I have other members of my team that are up here negotiating every week. And before the meetings, I go walk onto the site and say, okay, what happened? Question about this or that or the other. So you can follow every single week, every issue that's been addressed and negotiating with consultants, negotiations, where we're just going to get points on. It's really pretty cool to follow them, and I've been following for months. And there's a matrix that's 5 pages long with 82 different issues, and what the Earthlink's position is, and what the city's position is, and you can see all this stuff. It's very cool.
Do you have any idea of how much of how cool this is going to be relative to how many transmitters per block, how many transmitters are secondary repeaters that go back to your system? How many of those?
Yeah, we have some sense.
Yeah, it's. Our model is basically 36 per square mile. Given the
36
transmitters? 36 nodes, radios, little boxes per square mile. Given the topology and the foliage of San Francisco, we may have to go up to 40 per square mile. Their range is 1,000 feet, so maybe it's every 600 feet. And then every third one has the the backbone.
The order of the signal strength. I know you'll hear more of this if you're going to Cal Poly tomorrow, but people worry about EMFs and stuff like that. Particularly if you had a light standard right in front of the window, for example. I mean, how much?
The power generated by one of these is 1/400th the tower of a cell phone. The rural 1/1 radius. By the time the right way gets down,
Right. Yes, again, you know, to Stephen's point, the transmission, the strength of what's been filmed is very low in comparison to other things that are out there.
Yeah, it's also one of those intricacies, you know, baby monitors and your self-reporting calls your house, but so if you have a baby monitor, if you have a baby, and this is 20 feet up on a pole, it's...
So you're saying it's not dangerous?
No.
People worry, I know.
No, people do, and it's
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It is a
thing. Their pets are being killed, or kids are being killed.
And in some cases, they are. They probably done it
this morning here. I'd be concerned too. I'd be concerned about the baby monitor. Yeah. But, you know,
so as you're doing all this work, has there been any work on numbering out a privacy policy?
Well, we have a very stringent, Earthling has a very stringent privacy policy.
So that's for Google. Your other stuff, but one for this, because that had been a problem right from the start.
Yeah. We have a privacy policy in place for Google-wide and specifically to the Wi-Fi service. You can see that online. You go to wi-fi.google.com.
Wi-fi.google.com?
That page is largely about our Mountain View project, but that has a privacy policy on there, and so you can read the details of it there. So.
And I also encourage you, because we were specifically asked by the CDC to address in response to ACLU and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. On the website, there are the letters that Google, respectively, that Google responded to and Earthlink responded to address the privacy issues with links back to our policy, our privacy policy, and Google's privacy policy.
So you also, where would your privacy policy be?
www.earthlink.net.
And then I just search for privacy policy. You're using the same one for this as for your
Yes.
But I actually have a more amusing question.
Okay.
Since how long has the launch have you been going?
We launched it fully in August this year.
So tell me what kind of nanny net noise you're getting. Are people jumping up and down about censorship or that kind of stuff? Is that something that may show up? I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, you mean sort of in connection with the privacy policy?
But no, this is sort of like, yeah, the censorship people. Since this is city and open and stuff like that, that a lot of times you're censorship people, but the nanny netters, they've gone after the libraries. You know, so
I see, in terms of
controls.
Yeah, are we going to be trying
parental
control?
I mean, they want us to put in parental
controls. Right, the people that, protect us all like we're kindergartners. Has that shown up yet?
I have not seen that in Mountain View as being a major concern. Google is, believes in open access, and that's what the network is about. There aren't restrictions, and I haven't heard a lot of talk about that in Mountain View.
They have the libraries and the schools.
Right. No, I certainly know what you're referring to, but specifically in Mountain View, that hasn't been a major concern we've heard.
It's actually, we've also deployed a network in, or are deploying a network in Anaheim, which is pretty conservative. Now, we've offered, to part of our suite of services, of course, our parental controls. A scam blocker, a pop-up blocker, a whole suite of protection services, including parental controls. We leave that discretion of the subscriber whether or not they want to download and activate.
Okay. No, that's
for other people, particularly.
Yeah, I don't want them to control me.
Sure. And Google, of course, as you probably know, also offers safe search options that are custom set. You can set by the user also, but again, that's not something that's being prescribed as part of these networks.
Because again, there's a lot of bad things out on the internet.
Yeah.
You want to protect your kids from.
There's worse things going on in Iraq. Just turn on the TV and all over the dead.
That's true.
Well, like the library is keeping tabs on what we check out, are you guys going to be keeping tabs on what we view?
No.
We just want to get you over the news and that's what we're doing. Once you get there, you go wherever you go.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
And lastly, we've actually talked some about sort of what's Google's interest in this project, what's Earthlink's project. I just like to kind of end by showing you the mission statements of each company, which I think gives a sense of where this fits into our business strategies and our on our missions as two different companies. And at Google, we certainly take, I know we take ours very seriously. Pretty much every project or product we do comes back to this message about organizing the world's information, making it universally accessible and useful. And obviously, where this comes in is making that information accessible.
And that is why we're partnering with Google, because their mission statement aligns perfectly with ours, connecting people with power to possibilities of the internet.
And lastly, just wanted to say we definitely want you to keep in touch with us if you have more questions or comments. This has been a great session in terms of feedback. I've really, really appreciated a lot of the comments you made. So very genuinely, feel free to stay in touch. There's the email address. I mentioned the wifi4sf.com website. That's the website that Google and Earthlink have set up with. It has these schedules and sort of basic information about what our proposal is. And then I also mentioned wifi.google.com, which is our website that's specifically about the Mountain View project. It links back to that one as well. But that's the main website for the San Francisco proposal.
You know, I'd like to invite Laura and Mike up here, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Just talk about TechNet while you're here.
My name is Laura Ebert, and this is Mike McCarthy, and we both serve on a task force for the city around the Tech Connect project. And we don't work for the city, we actually have other jobs, and we just serve as volunteers in the task force. And when the mayor announced this project, I think he was concerned not only about deploying a network across the city, but also making sure that all residents in San Francisco actually can use the network. And as all of you so eloquently talked about earlier, that requires a lot of other things, not just the deployment of the network, but actually making sure people have access to computers, that they have training, they know how to use the computers, they know how to deal with privacy concerns, other kinds of security concerns, and other things. And so the city set up this task force specifically to look at these issues around digital inclusion and how are we going to make sure that all residents of San Francisco can benefit from this system. And so our job, Mike, and then there are a number of us, and the list is on the paper there, have been trying to provide the city with information of what it's really going to take. And we've talked about a lot of the issues that you raised tonight and around really making sure people have relevant content, that they have a reason to go on the internet, and that's what will drive them to the internet, as well as training and other special needs for specific populations like individuals with disabilities, and how can they actually, this special assistive technology they might need to actually connect to the internet. So the city has actually come up with a plan. They're looking at looking for other resources to be able to provide programs throughout the city to actually help people connect. And so the plan is actually on the website, and you can take a look at it, and they're actually asking people to comment on it to see is this what it's going to take to provide, to actually, you know, address the digital divide needs here in the city. And so you folks, the website is listed on the sheet, and you guys can take a look at that. The task force meets once a month. It's every third Wednesday of the month, and so our next meeting is actually tomorrow night, and we're specifically looking at issues around that face individuals with disabilities. We have some experts coming in to talk to us and to the city about that. And so you all, the public is invited to come to every meeting. The meetings, I think, are provided on the website. And tomorrow night, it happens to be the Community Technology Foundation, which is the organization I work for, but it's downtown in the Rincon Center. And it's from 5 to 7. And Mike is a member, and he's also working on a demonstration project here in Western Addition that is seeking to actually help get young people and other folks who are not connected to the net. So I'm going to let him talk a little bit about that.
Great. Yeah, so I'm working on a project through Booker T. Community Center, which is up by Presidio Muni Barn. And we're going to set up a wireless network at the West Side Court. It's a housing project on Post. It's sort of right behind Kaiser on Gary. And we're going to be setting up a wireless network using some of those devices, actually, that some of the Google guys put this up with. And we're going to be setting up a wireless network that is going to give free access to 140 families. And we're working with teenagers from Westside and also teenagers from Booker T. We're going to do the training for the families. And they're also going to provide the tech support. So I think, as George sort of mentioned, giving someone a computer and walking away from it is really unfair. It's like giving someone a car and not reminding them about changing the oil. So one of the things we're going to try and do is try to build a system where we can have teenagers from the neighborhood provide the actual tech support to the families who get these computers. And we're going to be working with an organization called Street Tech, which is in Richmond, California. And we're going to be selling families very high-quality computers for about $125 each. They've got 512 megabytes of RAM, 40 gig hard drive, Pentium 4s, which are excellent machines, and we're going to be selling them for $125. They're refurbished computers. So that's another great opportunity to think about is how do you get computers that don't go to landfills but get them back into the community? So places like Yellow Hill Hutch or other places in this neighborhood, how do you make opportunities for teenagers here who can refurbish and fix these computers, get them out to the neighborhoods, and then maybe have small training sessions for different housing projects in different neighborhoods where they can teach them how to get email, how to make sure your kids are surfing the net safely, help them with homework, help them pay their parking tickets, all those different resources that we all use the internet for, but unless someone sits next to you and does it with you, it's kind of hard to know. So that's one of the things we're working on at Westside. We're also working on creating a neighborhood website that'll have content created by the families at Westside. They'll have pictures of the kids in the neighborhood, different events that are going on, other information that people want to access online. So content, training, tech support, those are all the key things. And once again, this is a great opportunity for neighborhoods.
Are those jobs or are they volunteer things?
We had some money from DCYF, we're also getting some money from the foundation, that were paying teenagers $9 an hour to do some of this work. So you're right, I think the challenge for all of us here is how do we be creative? How do we think, the network's going to be up, in a lot.
12 to 18 months.
It's a time. You're all here, and you're showing the pioneers and sort of the early adopters. You're the ones who need to start getting creative, sort of beating the drums about, what are we going to do? How is this going to play out in fall of 2007? How is maybe the next funding cycle for the city going to make sure they have a program to fund these things in the different communities? We really need to start talking about it. It's not just about the network. It's about what are people going to do with the network? I was at this meeting with Laura, actually Paul up there, Steve was there, on Friday, where we had a number of nonprofits talking about how they would use the network. There was one organization that had created this device or this application for cell phones that can do air quality monitoring. That's as much as I know. The goal is for the cell phone to take air quality readings, and it would tell you what the quality of the air is. So let's say you've got an asthma issue, you may not want to go in that neighborhood at that time.
Yeah.
Or you might want to report to the city that says, that's really got bad air quality. Let's do something about that. There's also an organization there from Orange County that had this great way they'd set up a kiosk at the courthouse where people could access online documents where they could file for divorce. Or they could, well, not a great thing, but
sometimes.
But men in general, said mostly men, or parents who are delinquent in their child support, how they can sort of get current with the child support system. And one of the things the lawyer presented mentioned is you might sound very punitive, but he found that these men, given the tools to get better engaged with their children, became better engaged fathers because they weren't having to go through the whole court process of having to pay default judgments and pay extra money, but they were able to sort of take control over their child care support. So once again, these are sort of way out ideas, but these are things that are actually happening now. So you guys need to start telling us and other people how we should really use this network. So, once again, as Laura mentioned, we're having a meeting tomorrow about disability. We're not having a December meeting because of Christmas, but in January, our focus is going to be on small businesses. How are small businesses going to use this? How is Diane's Coffee Shop or the Coffee Shop on Fillmore, how are they going to really benefit from this? We're first of all, know about it, learn how to use it, and then benefit from it. So please, the information's on the page. Contact us, ask us questions.
And I just want to say that the document they put out, the
request for comment,
it's a great job. It's a really impressive document about talking about, I call it teach, some training, educate, access, content, and hardware. But this is perfect, the way we distill and encapsulate, I can easily remember the components of digital inclusion, because there are five legs to the stool. Access is just one. Without the others, this is not going to work. And their document really goes into quite a bit of detail, a lot of great recommendations, thought-provoking, and they're looking for people to access it and provide them feedback.
And support, if you agree with that, support, because part of our job is we're advising the city, so part of our job is going to be convincing the city and the mayor that they need to put some significant resources behind this part of the project. You know, these guys are taking care of the network piece, but there's a whole other part of the project.
So you guys are the tech connect.
Yeah, we're on the task force.
So when you say your document, that means at Community Technology Center or at the Tech Connect, or where is that document?
The document is, it's on the SFGov Tech Connect site.
SFGov.org Tech Connect. There are a number of links, but you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's a draft document.
It's called Teach, if I do a search for Teach, T-E-A-C.
Oh, that's mine.
That's
sorry.
Is it, I'm not sure the exact name. It's digital inclusion.
If you go SFGov.org Tech Connect.
Well, it's on here, but there's a bunch of stuff on it.
On the right-hand side, there's a listing for members or meetings. You'll find it right there. It should say the document there. Gosh, I think it's right there on the page itself. There are two links right there.
I have to tell you, Yahoo's and groups have such horrible privacy policies. I refuse to use them. It's really bad to use them for your
We have to make
group.
Everything really public. Everything
well, no, there are other options. They have some of the worst privacy policies on the planet.
So we can use the Yahoo groups for the SFGov.
Well, there's a listserv that we have that's pretty low volume that announces our meetings and different things we're discussing that people can opt in to join. You can go to that website, you can join part of the discussion. You can't post messages, but you can read all the messages we have between each other.
Okay, cool. That's good.
And you have access to money to pay these youngsters?
What I'm doing is I get money from the Department of Children, Youth, and Family. DCYF. It's a city department. Department of Children, Youth, and Family. Initial grant, and then also the Community Technology Foundation of California, where Laura works, is also supporting us. And their website is zerodivide.org. I think we need to have sort of demonstration projects like this and others to show the city that, you know, these are things we need to be supporting.
Is it 00 or is it ZERO?
ZERO. Zero divide all on board.
So thank you so much for it's a great place to end, because this is just one, hopefully you'll see the Google and Earthlinks proposal is one component of this larger Tech Connect project. So we're not going to have all the answers as part of this. We hope to have some of them. But this is a great place to end, because there's a lot of possibility that goes far beyond what I've talked about here. Yeah. So thank you all so much for coming again. Very honestly, great questions, great feedback. Hope you do stay in touch, keep on top of it, and sort of see how our project and our ideas evolve. And again, thanks very much. If anyone has specific questions, feel free to come on up.
And I have to say, this is probably one of the best community meetings we've had in terms of engagement, and I really appreciate that. And so, Natalie, you don't want to come out here to do a slideshow, no question. I really
next time we want to
queries.
Feather boa.
Okay.